President Bush is on his way back to the United States after a surprise visit to Iraq. The president dropped in on the 1st Armored Division and the 82nd Airborne at Baghdad Airport. U.S. Administrator Paul Bremer, standing next to Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, made the introduction.
Let's see if we got anybody more senior here who can read the president's Thanksgiving speech. Is there anybody back there who's more senior than us?
The visit was a dramatic departure from the public schedule for this weekend, which involved a quiet Thanksgiving at his Texas ranch in Crawford, Texas. News of the visit was kept quiet until the president's short stop in Baghdad was complete. NPR's White House correspondent Don Gagne joins us now by phone from Front Royal in Virginia, and NPR's Peter Kenyon joins us from Baghdad. Good to have you both, and happy Thanksgiving.
Hi, thanks, Neil.
Peter, what can you tell us about the president's visit?
Well, as you said, it was quite a surprise for everyone involved.
Peter? Well, Peter's satellite telephone appears to be hooked up with Robert Krolwich's phone there in New York. Don Gagne, you still there?
I am here. I'm here.
All right, we'll try to get Peter back up on the satellite telephone from Baghdad. But obviously, the trip kept secret for security purposes.
Exactly. They no secret that they like to keep secrets in this White House. And they really did pull off this major clandestine operation, all for security reasons, literally sneaking the president out of his ranch in Texas, not in a motorcade, but in an unmarked car last night, taking him to the local airbase in Waco, where Air Force One lands, having him climb up the back steps of Air Force One so nobody could tell who was there or who was getting in. And then they'd created the story that Air Force One was flying back to Washington for maintenance reasons. Once there, that plane slips into a hangar. The other identical Air Force One 747 is fueled and ready to go. And in a hangar, he gets in that plane. There are just five reporters, a handful of photographers, and a TV crew, all sworn to secrecy. And off they go to Baghdad. They had to turn over all cell phones, pagers, Blackberries, those instant messaging devices, as they got on the plane, just to make sure nobody said anything to anybody as this was taking place.
I gather White House Communications Director Dan Bartlett told reporters on the flight to Baghdad if word leaked out, they were going to turn around and come back home.
That's right. They were not going to risk it. And when the plane landed at Baghdad International Airport, which used to be Saddam Hussein International Airport, the runway was dark. The plane was dark. Its lights were down. All the window shades were pulled. That's how they did the entire flight in darkness as well. And the White House tells us that nobody on the ground knew that that was Air Force One.
Now, this should be pointed out just a few days after a DHL cargo plane was hit by a missile as it was trying to land at that airport. I think we have Peter Kenyon back on the line with us from Baghdad. And Peter, what did the president do once he did get on the ground there at Baghdad Airport?
Hi, Neil. Yeah, he did get quickly into this hangar and introduced by Mr. Bremer, and he gave a speech that pretty much has been summed up many times before in his previous comments. Things like, we didn't charge hundreds of miles into the desert, liberate 25 million people only to retreat before a band of thugs and assassins, in his words. He got rousing applause at almost every juncture, mainly because these troops were so glad to see him. It has been a very bloody month for the American military here, something on the order of 60 soldiers dead in the holy month of Ramadan for Muslims. Been a very difficult time for the Iraqi people as well, but certainly for the soldiers, this was seen as quite a morale boost.
And obviously, the word did not leak out there that the president was coming at all.
No, I can tell you that I heard the plane take off. I'm not even sure that I heard it land, but I did hear it take off, and only afterwards did the word come out. NPR's Ivan Watson, in fact, had been in the vicinity of the airport visiting other troops for a standard Thanksgiving Day with the troops kind of a reporting story. And they knew nothing about it. And in fact, one of the people in that troop said that he heard about the president's visit while calling his wife in Germany. So that's how much of a surprise it was right there at the airport.
Don, we heard Peter describe how the enthusiastic reception by the troops. We heard a little bit of that on the tape earlier. Is this important, obviously, for the morale there, but domestically, what is it going to do for the president, do you think?
Well, you know what it does? The White House thinks this does send a message. There has been so much bad news out of Iraq since the president declared major combat over. In his last high-profile kind of landing somewhere, that landing on the aircraft carrier out in the Pacific. And I think they want to send the message that it is at least secure enough there that they can get the president in there. Now, the other thing that they want to do besides boost morale is to, again, get these pictures out of him with the troops. And I think they see these as very important messages to get out to the public. And I guess with the election less than a year away, you can't discount that there might have been political considerations as well. We will certainly see these pictures of the president smiling, holding up a big platter of turkey for the troops and serving up sweet potatoes out and about quite a bit, I'm sure, over the course of the next year.
Peter Kenyon, morale obviously has suffered as a result of the casualties that you mentioned, and there's also a certain degree of wistfulness and homesickness at every holiday, big holiday like Thanksgiving or Christmas. Is this going to radiate outward from that hangar at Baghdad Airport and get to the troops out not only in Baghdad but elsewhere throughout Iraq?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think the military commanders would be foolish not to try and maximize that very effect. For a lot of these men and women sitting up in Mosul or Kirkuk or out in the western desert where it's become quite cold and the weather's turning here, the winter's coming, it has not been a real fun time, and they certainly were very far from the warm glow of the commander-in-chief in that hangar in Baghdad. I think absolutely there'll be every method you can imagine, from videotapes and whatever other means, to bring that message to all the different troops and try and get that warm glow going around the rest of the country. I should say that for the Iraqi civilians, it's been a bit more of a nonplussed reaction. Some folks are saying, well, fine, he's welcome to come. But others are saying, we didn't hear much about our suffering, and we still don't have jobs, and we still can't go to a school because, there's thieves and looters out on the street, and the police are barely up and running. So there's all those problems still to be dealt with as well. And for the local population, it's a very different story than what the troops have to face.
Peter Kenyon, thanks very much for staying up very late on what's still Thanksgiving here. We appreciate your report from Baghdad.
Thanks, Neil.
And Don Gagne, enjoy the rest of the day there in Virginia.
All right, will do. Thank you.
NPR White House correspondent Don Gagne from the Shenandoah Valley in Virginia, NPR's Peter Kenyon in Baghdad. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.